share with us what the Lord has laid on your heart. Give him a warm welcome.
He's open to Acts chapter 8. Could someone throw me a pen? I left mine in my Bible. Won't it take me? You can get it right back. Acts chapter 8. Him coming. Ooh, slow. Good catch. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for these very dear people. In all the hundreds or thousands of times I've preached in 40 some years, I don't know that I've come across the more tender, gracious people. Bless them. Bless Pastor Smith and just do a mighty work through this place. Bless this sermon through the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's a slight problem in the church. It's been going on for probably 30 years. Some, they say the only reason that we became Christians is to lead others to Christ. Well, and they overemphasize that it's all about that. And when people come in that are one, it doesn't take long before they kind of get a cold shoulder because people are trying to win other people and ignoring them. Then on the other side, something extraordinary Christ said. They shall know that you're my disciples because you have agape love. It's a life-giving love whereby we're willing to give our lives for each other. And the unbelievers look at it and say, what is that? Yeah. My family want to kill each other and you're all loving each other. So we've been led to Christ for two reasons, to lead others to Christ and to love the brethren. Amen. So let's keep that in mind as I emphasize on witnessing today. You say witnessing? No. Let's talk about anything other than that. Well, the ones that are here, did anyone ever tell you the gospel? Raise your hand if they did. Yeah. I mean, I was 17 years old in high school, a scallywag. Anything you can think of, I was just about that, getting in fights and all that. And I was asked to go to a basketball tournament, and there I heard the gospel. It blew my mind. That was the least thing I wanted to hear. But because we had four more basketball games to go, after two games, we got in the bleachers. Guy comes out and starts talking about Christ and salvation. But I didn't know what he was talking about. Never been to church, never read the Bible, had no intention of doing it. Make a long story short, I asked Christ to save my soul that day. I didn't even know what I was asking. I didn't know. I had four more games to do, and I was in the side room with this guy trying to tell me about Jesus. He gave me John 3:16 like this. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. That's what I heard. Well, I believe in that snub head, I don't ask any life. And he gives me others. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, no. But Christ is so powerfully after unbelievers, people that just, he's just after them over and over. And the more we pray for them over and over, and it's incredible. And there that day, I just said in a prayer, Jesus, I don't even know if you're there. I don't know if any of this is true, but I'd be an idiot not to ask you to save my soul. And let me tell you, we had four games left that day, and I don't remember a thing about them. Light came inside of me. Instead of being the guy taking all the shots, I was probably throwing it to the other team or something. He threw it to me, and it bounced off my chest. And it's been 40-some years later. No, I should say 40-some seconds later. And here I am. What a gracious God. And we've heard the gospel. You know, if you ask God to send somebody to you and you just say, I'm willing, you know, I'm nervous and I'm scared, but I really would like to tell someone about Jesus. And you say, bring someone to me, and he will. And he will bring someone that will shock you, that actually merges right with you and your personality. Women, he'll normally bring a lady to you. Guys, he'll normally bring guys. If you're a tough guy, he'll probably bring a tough guy. In Acts chapter 8, he's asking us to do three things. I call it the ABCs of witnessing. Be available, brave, and considerate. Years ago, came home from church about 30 years ago, and church, my wife had the whatever cooking in the oven, and we eat, and I go in there, and I sat on my lazy boy, get the newspaper, and I'm going to watch the Lions lose to somebody. I don't know, just somebody. And I start looking through the paper, and I get to the third section, and there, right there, a big picture of a guy going, ah. That was the drawing rendering from the court. And they said, this man brought a shotgun and held people up at the courthouse. And he was going to shoot them all. And somehow they got through a window and tackled them or something. And I'm sitting there, boy, what a good meal, praise the Lord. About to watch the Lions, like I said. And I see this, God knows I'm available, but I hadn't quite told him that day or mentioned it to him. And I was looking at that, and he said, go there today and witness to him. And they described how he was demon possessed and, you know, whatever. So I just said, okay, Father, told my wife, she said, okay. So I go down to the jail. I said, I want to see so-and-so. They said, no, you can't. He's not seeing anybody. I said, Jeff, some crazy thing. Tell him the majesty on high wants to tell him something. I forget what it was. But they go back and tell him, and he said, well, I'm surprised him, but he says he'll see you. I go, goody, now what? See, the awesome thing, 1 Corinthians 15. You say, what's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 7. Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead, buried and rose from the dead. And then he was seen by over 500 witnesses at one time. That's the gospel. You say, what do I tell somebody? You're at the store and you bump into somebody and they're crying and say, can I talk to you or whatever? And you say, all I got to tell you is that Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, came down years ago and died for your sins, ma'am or sir, rose from the dead after putting those sins into hell, and he has then 40 days later, after rising from the dead, he ascended on a throne next to the Father, and he's ready to hear you. That's the gospel. The good news is he already died for our sins.
Yeah.
I know I was a scalawag. Maybe some of you were. But I'm here to tell you, it's very exciting. Anyway, boy, I gotta finish this illustration. So I go into the jail, and I'm sitting across from, they sent me in a chair, and there was glass about 2 or 3 inches thick, and get on a phone or whatever, and I sit down, I pick up the phone, he picks up the phone, and he's like, so I said, I read the stuff about you and the stuff that happened, and I'm here to tell you, you can be free today. Would you like to be free? He said, I can't be free. I gave my soul to the devil. Well, the one good exciting thing out of millions, that God is the highest of all powers, and if God wants to free you, the saint can't do a thing about it. And I just start giving him the gospel. He loves you. He died for your sins, rose from the dead. He's in heaven right now, just listening to this conversation. And he starts crying. Okay. I said, would you like to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, forgive your sins, free you from Satan? He said, yes, I would. And he prayed right then and there in the place, and I floated out of the jail. I don't know if there was a window thing up there that was open. Maybe I floated out and floated home. I couldn't tell you. But I'm here to tell you, witnessing is so exciting. In Acts chapter 8, there was a man named Philip. If you look at Acts chapter 8, you look at verse 1, Saul, who later became Paul, he was a persecutor of the church. It says, and at that time there was what? Great persecution against the church. And Philip, what does he do? There's great persecution. Oh, he went back to his house. Shh, I'm going to keep quiet about this Jesus thing. He went straight to preaching. Yeah. Preaching on the streets. You say, well, you couldn't do that. Well, some people have that gift. And so then if you look at chapter 8, verse 26, it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Philip's the guy that's been witnessing since great persecution hit the church. Angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And what did he do? He arose and went. Has God ever said anything to you? If not, you're not listening, or I'm not listening, or we're not in fellowship, or whatever. But if you're in the Word of God and every day you pray and you say, Heavenly Father, I don't know what good I am to this Christianity today, but I can do my little part. And if you say, Heavenly Father, like it was said this morning, you seek him, he will be found.
Amen.
So Philip, he's told by God to go to the desert, and he went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, stay with me, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So the chariot's riding along, and he sees this man who would have been a black man with the Ethiopians, but he loved God extensively. He was Jewish. So now he's excited. He's willing to tell someone about Christ. He just was, if you read back and you read at the end of this chapter, he goes from preaching to thousands to one person. And who does he come to? He comes to a man, and he's reading verse 32. He was reading the Old Testament scriptures, and he came to a place, he was, Holy Spirit had him be just the exact place where it says, he was, verse 30, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. He said, do you understand what you read? Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from, where it was talking about the death and the humiliation of the Messiah. And I obviously, Isaiah wrote about it 1,000 years before. And now this eunuch is reading. He says, who does this speak of? Himself? Isaiah talking about himself? Is he talking about somewhere else? And it said right from there, he started to preach to him, verse 35. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So it is so exciting about being available, brave, and considerate in witnessing. If the three people could come forward, they know who they are. Yeah, I was supposed to do something to you. Okay, the first one, and we picked the big guy here. Come on up. The first, this is a veil.
Ooh, Ron.
Yeah, they look good. So what is this here?
A veil.
A veil. So he was available first. Okay, Pastor Smith, you can move over a little bit. I mean, quite a bit. Pastor Smith, come on over.
Okay.
And the second thing he was brave. The Atlanta Braves, I don't like them. They beat the Tigers all the time, and I still don't like them, even though I like Chipper. Okay. And my dear wife here, she is a convict, and her name is Sid. Strange name for a girl. Oh, Sydney. Well, okay. Okay, she's a convict. Her name is Sid. So, Con and Sid, she is considerate. I know it's stressing it, but so the first thing, come on in. Yeah. So, first thing, he was what?
Available.
And he was
brave.
And he was
considerate.
Okay, you can all sit down. Bring the. You can. I really would like you to keep it on, but you can take it off when you come up again. So, most of you are kind that I've met here.
Most of us.
Yeah, well, I've met all of them, but I'm pretty sure because people copy their pastors. Pastors bring in people like them. And Pastor Smith is very gracious, very kind. So I would figure that maybe all of you are, but
we are.
Okay. But because you're kind to each other, when it comes to witnessing, that changes in a hurry. I mean, because there's a demonic strand that comes to witnessing. If the devil can keep you from witnessing, that's not good. Because I can tell you, this is a guaranteed lock from the scriptures. Anybody that you know in this town that doesn't have a lot of money to spare, have problems going on, James says they will be full of faith. They're already. They might not know the gospel, but they're ready. You see, I'm just here to tell you. Jesus loves you and wants to forgive your sin. Hey, we were going on vacation years ago as a family, and we got lost going into St. Louis, and we got lost in East St. Louis. If you know anything about that, police, Popo, we call them, they don't even like to go down there. So I'm driving along, finding my way out. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit has a sense of humor sometimes. He says, because I kept a basketball and basketball clothes and shoes in our trunk, because I really like to play basketball. We're driving along, and up on the hill, you see this a massive grouping of people, and they were playing basketball up there. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people up there watching and everything else. And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go up there and witness to them. I love you. What are you talking about? I said, okay. I'd learned years before, if he asked me to do something, just do it. He'll protect me and all of that. Well, maybe I would come out of this thing with this basketball thing, just one eye gone, arm and a leg tore off. You know, they can heal that, I guess, and I'll hop around the rest of my life. This is what happened for listening to the Holy Ghost. I go up there, and I got my wife and my blonde-haired three children in the car. I said, dear, she says, yeah, I know. So we go up there, make a long story short. I get my basketball stuff on, and when the blacks play basketball, what you do is you get four other guys and form a team. And then you say, I'm next or whatever. So then the next team that lost, we got to play the next game against the winner. And all of a sudden, I couldn't miss a shot. And they're flying around like crazies. First, they didn't want to give me the ball, but I'd steal, and then I'd do a fadeaway jump shot. Okay, that'll work. So we end up winning like 8 games in a row. And I think I was 35 for 35 shooting.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, Jordan couldn't even do that. Unless I dunked, but. So I'm up there, we're into this last game, and the Holy Spirit says, okay, now tell them about Jesus. Because I hadn't missed a shot, and my skin was white of color, their amazement was so crazy. And if they'd asked me, I'd have said, my amazement's crazy too. And so I get these, I have these box of tracks, hundreds of them. And I say, everybody stop, this is my last game. Could you come over here for just a few seconds, minutes, whatever I said. And so I told them about Christ and salvation, being born again. And I said, you know, there's got to be a God. Ain't nobody going to shoot 35 for 35. I said, he loves you. And every one of them took a track. Wow. And people on the outside took tracks. I don't know that I had any left from the 100. And so I didn't do this, but I could have. Look, a UFO. Ran to the car, everybody in, back up and leave. But wait a minute. God helped me and was working in my life that I was available, right?
Yeah.
I have to say, like the song you're singing up there, it's almost like God is the bravery for me. So he gave me bravery or whatever worked, and I was considered enough to stop. Normally, I go 35 for 35. I'm going to just keep playing.
Yeah.
But if I would have at that point, I probably got all for 35 and blown the whole thing up. But if Philip was available, well, what happens? He comes up to the man, the Ethiopian eunuch. By the way, he's reading an Old Testament, right? Mm-hmm. It would take in our day's money, probably $1 million to get. The Old Testament had three scrolls to it, but he's reading from Isaiah. There wasn't a regular person in Jerusalem that had one of those. The high priest had to go into the temple and read on the Sabbath day from, you know, the one 3-cent copy that they had. Maybe they had another one. But so what does he do? God says, I want you to go. Out to the desert, and it says, and he went. So would you say he was available? So the bravery comes from that. I read the two passages, one where Saul was persecuting the church, something terrible. And then if you look at chapter 9, verse 1, showing Philip's bravery again, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. So Saul was out to kill everyone he could. They said he hailed them, which means he dragged them out of their house, wherever they were. Just he got authority from the high priest. But I can tell you, was Philip brave in witnessing when it was pretty interesting? And he was considerate. It says he was told to run up next to the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch, and he ran up next to him. He didn't say, stop this chariot or I'm going home. He was running right beside him. It was a desert, so you know it was hot. And so he's running next to him. And then the next thing you know, God makes it clear when Philip was talking to him, the Ethiopian eunuch said, stop this right here. And Philip, I want you to get on. He gets on the chariot and he talks to him about Christ. You see the awesomeness about the ABCs of witnessing, being available, brave, and considerate. You're already, if you ask them to help you to tell someone about Christ, your pastor can tell you more clearly how to talk to them. But it's simply about Christ. It's like when I hand out tracts. Most of the tracts I hand out, they might be big as a mountain. They might be like a lumberjack, or they might, who knows what, but I'm likely never going to see him again. So what am I afraid of? Me, it's pride. So what do? I just give him a track. And I brought tracks for some of you if you want one afterwards, and I can get Pastor Moore for witnessing if he wants. But the exciting thing is, I can tell you're pretty available. I can tell you're soft-hearted enough that you want to say, Lord Jesus, help me. Bring someone to me that's easier for me to witness.
Yes.
And I've preached on witnessing in certain churches, and people would tell me later on, like even old ladies, oh, I'm so nervous and scared, but please bring someone to me that will be easier for me. And they find an old lady or whatever crying in the grocery store, and they can tell them about Jesus and ask them out for coffee. You're already pretty much available, and you're already considerate. So the one in the middle is bravery. So how do you get bravery? Christ, see, if you don't know what to pray, exciting thing is, I mean, if you want to witness to the neighbor and you don't know how to ask for prayer, Father in heaven, give me whatever I need to witness to my neighbor, please. You say, well, that's just a general prayer. That's right. So if you need bravery from Christ, you say, please give me a spirit of bravery. One day, read in the book of Colossians and Philippians and a few books, and it says the spirit of faith, the spirit of strength, the spirit of knowledge. What does that mean? If you need knowledge to talk to somebody, please give me a spirit of knowledge. Wisdom, a spirit of wisdom. You can ask for wisdom and get all beat up and learn lessons from terrible time. Or you can ask for a spirit of wisdom, which I found in the Old Testament with Caleb and Joshua, didn't know what to do. Moses at a particular time with the tabernacle and the overlaid things. And God said, I have given a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of knowledge, a spirit of understanding for these men to do the overlaying of the gold on the vessels. What did he do? He gave them the ability to be able to overlay gold over the things for the tabernacle. So if the three of you could come up again. Oh, you look really good. So come over here. So the first one, where is it in here? So the first thing that we need to be is wanting to tell someone about Christ or witnessing is what?
Available.
Be available. Okay, scoot over, please, sir. Thank you. And then wherever you might be seen here. Yeah. And the second is what?
Brave.
Atlanta Braves, you may not like them either. If you do, you don't, but still, hopefully you can remember Braves.
I love the Braves.
Well, I love you anyway. Okay, and then she's a convict with handcuffs. She's not getting away. And name is Sid. So the third thing is to be what?
Considerate.
Very good. Okay, sit down. Thank you. Just take that with you one more time. Wow. Years ago, I preached in a church probably 30 years ago about witnessing. And afterwards, I met this guy, and his name was Wayne. And he was a judo black belt, and he was built like pile up bricks or something. And he came towards me. I didn't know what he was going to do. I can handle myself, but I'm like, I'm not so sure today. Spirit of protection, master, whatever. He comes up to me and he says, I've been trying to witness to people for years. I can't do it. Would you go witnessing with me? I said, absolutely. He said, when? I said, how about tonight? Grand Rapids, Michigan has certain areas that it would be better if you had a platoon of Marines. Is there such a thing?
Yes.
With you when you go after 10 p.m. And so, and I was praying, and voice said, go to Wealthy Street, which is bad news. And so he gives me the idea, and I want to say, how about, you know, there's a real nice area with a little mall there, Wealthy Street. I go, so I get just a little nervous, and I tell him where we're going. He's like, are you sure? I said, no, but I hope it was God that said Wealthy Street. So we go, 10 o'clock at night, pitch dark, people selling drugs or buying drugs over here. I don't know the difference. I just know, I can kind of tell they're not up to any good. And there are ladies called Bells, which talk about harlots. So we go walking, we pray together, and this guy having black belt in judo is so nervous he can barely move. And so I just said, the master will protect us. And we look, and there's this lady over on a corner. I said, okay, so we walked up to her and said, we're not gonna hurt you. We're Christians or whatever. And we gave her the gospel. She said, it's not gonna matter. Jesus would never forgive my sins. I said, you wanna bet? So I said, gave her the gospel again and say, would you be willing to pray to Jesus Christ and ask him to save your soul? Forgive your sins. She starts weeping. She said, I still don't think you would. I said, let's pray together. So we pray together about salvation. And when we're done, she opens her eyes and she's like, wow, this is incredible. And the next Sunday, she was in church. And so we got her number and stuff. And then we walked a little more, and it was a guy. He had, I'll call it Pepsi Cola. And he was off on the side next to a building. And so we started to talk to him about what his life was like. And then we got to the gospel. And he said almost the same thing. Jesus would never forget me. And again, yes, he will. How do I know? He saved this scallywag. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
And so he prayed a prayer and asked Christ to be his Lord and Savior, and he started crying. I mean, this was one tough guy here, and he was in church the next Sunday. So I was a scaredy cat going to this really bad part of town, but I said, okay, he'll protect me, and if I didn't hear him right, he won't, and I'll just see Jesus soon or something. So being like Stephen was, or Philip was, he was available. When God asked him to go, he went. He was brave because there was great persecution going on. We don't even know what persecution is. Right. Hebrews says, you haven't even been persecuted to the point of spilling any blood. So it's our pride that it was me as a young believer too, until I just decided I was going to do it, that he would protect me and help. So he was brave and he was considerate. He didn't command. This man, Philip, was next to an apostle. And if you read earlier in the chapter, he healed people. It was incredible. The deacons that were chosen, they could heal people as well, but they weren't apostles. But he was considerate. He ran along with this chariot. Then he was allowed to get on the chariot. Then this Ethiopian eunuch says, okay, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? He said that thou believest in Christ. And he said, Philip said, if thou believest, verse 37, in all thine heart thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And said he believed, he was baptized, came up out of the water, and God took Philip away. Verse 40, but Philip was found at Azotus, passing through. He preached in all cities. This will hopefully be the closing, other than... It's interesting. I'm glad Pastor didn't cancel me preaching, because I got even more inspired. There's a man in town that runs a business, and I've given him tracks, talking to him about the Lord a bit. And I go there a couple of days ago, and I say, where's so-and-so? They said he died probably 45 years ago. And it really crushed me. I'd given them the gospel, and I'd given them tracts, and was about to, you know, take them out to eat or whatever, and he's dead. I'd built a relationship with this guy, and it really hurt me when I found out he died. Hey, if you've never witnessed to your neighbor, put a tract in their mailbox. You don't even have to put your number on it yet, but you got to do something. If you have family members you never witnessed to before, hey, just we have to make sure that our lives are virtuous in the sense that we've made changes that are so powerful that when we go to family, they'll say, Robert, what is different with you? And then you tell them about Jesus. But it is so powerful that God had someone die that I was witnessing to, but I guess I should have went a little faster, but sometimes you just never know. So years ago, again, I was a chaplain in a county jail in Michigan. And so I spent a couple weeks getting to know the place or whatever, and people there would call you a chap. And as I walked by to my office, there were these people. The glass was probably 5 inches thick. They're banging on it. And you couldn't hear them, but their lips would go tap, like tap. So I finally asked a deputy or whatever, you know, what's going on? What's the deal with these people? He said, those are the that's our maximum security. People that come through here convicted of murder or serial killers or has to be really violent. He said, right now we have 7 in there. And God touched my spirit again. You go in there and witness to those people, he says. Okay, so I had to go talk to the head of the place. And when I talked to him about going in there and witnessing or talking to them about Christ, the head of this thing really despised chaplains and Christianity and all that. Now I could see his eyes light up. He started to tell me, no, you can't do that. He said, oh, wait a minute. Sign this piece of paper and we'll have no liability. Go on in there. Yeah, well, that's okay. You can get rid of me and another one's coming. Maybe even crazier than me. And I said, okay, and I signed it. And they had a metal door that went into the area where these people were, probably 4 inches thick. Metal door, and then as you walk in this 3-4 foot space, there's a little opening under the next door, which is even thicker, where you put food under. And I'm thinking, what have I done? Help. Most of them were really big, and they were all, you know, going to be convicted most likely of violent crime. And so then there's the thick door, then there's the second one, and there were 7 in there, so I had 8 Bibles under one arm, plus mine, 8 hymn books under the other. And the deputy guy opens the first one, and I walk in, and he walks in with me, and the second one he opens, he pushes me through with everything he's got, probably both arms and a leg, just push me in, close the bam, and then locked. It was like, oh, lock. Okay. So I was standing in there, and as God's sense of humor would work again, I say, I'm Chaplain Bennett, and I just came in to talk to you for a bit. Sure enough, the first one that walked out was a guy about my height. They had it on little cubicles. Another walks out from another place. He's the next tallest. As they came out, they got taller and bigger. And now it was whatever and what. So I was there, and it was the least sung hymn in history. I said, okay, everybody, I opened it to Amazing Grace, I think, and laid it before each of them. Oh, I handed it to them, and then some of them wouldn't read, so I put it on the floor. So I ended up singing Amazing Grace all by myself. I said, this is not really, it's not working the way I'd hope. And then as I'm standing there, I realized I was so worked up about getting in here, I'd forgotten to put a message together. And I'm like, you know, and I'm glad you can pray inside your head and not have to always pray out loud. And I just said, help, I need something. And because I'd asked him, see, the Bible, the only way to get God's grace, which is his blessing, power, and strength, is to humble yourself. He resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So if we think God's going to help us, but we're not humbling ourselves before him, or we're not asking him to help, we're not going to get it. And you wonder, why are things messed up? Because it's us. So all we have to do, it's extraordinary. Help me. Help me in my life. Help me to pray more. Help me be more patient with my wife and my wife to not want to kill me and all of these things. So I walk in there and bam, seemed like within a nanosecond, which is a billionth of a second. And I'm standing there and boom, he gives me the message. I'm like, okay. So they're standing out there and I said, hey guys, let's just say the president came next door, which was Reagan, by the way, if that dates anything for you. I said, the president comes next door and you have a chance to get out of this cell and go talk to the president. How close would you get with him? He said, oh man, hey brother, ain't no way to get no close to nobody. They're going to take us down, tie us up, probably send us to the state pen without any kind of, you know, court proceeding. We ain't going to get any close to the president. I said, what if he were your father? What if the president was your father and they let you out for a bit? How close could you get to him? Oh, man, we hug each other, kiss each other, tea, man, daddy, I need help. I said, the exciting thing, some of you have been running for it from your whole life. God the Father sent his son Jesus Christ to this world to die for all of our sins. Then he was put in a tomb and he put those sins into hell, rose from the dead. And for 40 days told his followers, you go tell them what I did. And they've been telling ever since. And I said, the Bible says whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. You just talk to him. He's on the throne. He's ascended and he's waiting for you to talk to him. And I said, so in the same way, if the president were your father, in this sense, when you ask, I don't care what you've done, you ask him to be your Lord and your Savior and make a decision to make some change. Now, God is your father. And now you can tell him anything you need to tell him. He'll not only listen, but Romans 3 says he forgives everything from the second you were converted backwards. It's gone. Never be remembered again. If it's remembered again, it's us or demons suggesting things. They're gone. Yep. Now it's from the time we're converted to the future. We got to work on stuff. And so I'm standing there. And wouldn't it be God's, not sense of humor, I'm not sure in this case, the biggest guy in there. Probably 6-7 inches taller than you. I said, who here would like to ask Christ to be their Lord and Savior? I haven't gotten out of the place undismembered yet. But so I just said, who would like to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? The biggest guy says, I can't even go as deep. Anybody have a real deep voice?
I would.
Yeah. I'm like, inside, praise the Lord. And then another guy says, I would. Then all seven of them said, I would. And all seven of them asked Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And I told them to read their Bible, got them a Bible, you know, whatever. And so 2 weeks later, a week later, I wasn't at the mission anymore. And which is a long story in itself. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you the story. So if you three could come up again, please. So the ABCs of witnessing from this passage. People stand in front of me here again. The first one, A, is what?
Available.
Thank you. Good job. Thanks, sir. Here's one of his teams he likes a lot. Brave, so be brave. And then the last one, this criminal, I don't know how she got out of prison or whatever. But, so she's a criminal. No,
convict.
Oh, so, well, I was adding something. Anyway, so yeah, she's a convict and her name is Sid. So the third thing to be is what? Very good. Thank you. So what I'd like to ask everyone here, because James says if you talk about something from the scriptures and you don't make a commitment and you walk away, James says you will have forgotten everything you saw, everything you heard. So right now, would anyone here say that you're willing to try to be available, brave, and considerate and ask God to help you to tell someone about Christ or give a tract to somebody? How many here would say, and on the screen, that you would be willing to try to tell someone about Christ? Thank you. Praise the Lord. So now, just before I go, if we could bow our heads, and you're not going to have to come up or raise your hands that you prayed it, but right where you're sitting, if we could all pray that are willing, or if we're not willing, that we could pray that he would help us to get a burden for the lost. After all, we were given the gospel. So if everyone here could pray a silent prayer or whatever and just let the Lord know you'd be willing to try to be available, brave, and considerate, that he'd give you a burden for the lost. Heavenly Father, thank you for these dear people, the ones here and the ones online. Pray that you would bless their lives in a powerful way and all of your lives. Father in heaven, bless all these dear ones, and may many end up going to heaven because of commitments made today. And give them a spirit of strength and power and understanding, and just to give a tract to put in somebody's mailbox or whatever, just to get started. Bless them in a powerful way. The help of the Holy Ghost, I pray in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you, Doc. Really appreciate your message today. I think it was timely.
Yeah.
And right, exactly where the Lord wanted us today. So thank you so very much.